The refugee community in Vermont has brought a host of new crops, new foods, and new farming techniques with them to the state. And now UVM Extension is hoping to get the word out to growers who might be interested in experimenting with these new crops themselves. In some cases, the crops are available at farmers markets and in specialty ethnic food stores. But some are really hard to find, and you might need to know a farmer who's willing to part with a few seeds to grow them yourself. Joining us now is Alicia Laramie. She's the program specialist with the New Farms for New Americans program, and she's the co-author of a new booklet put out by UVM Extension called Global Food, Local Food, a guide to growing, harvesting, and preserving African and Asian crops in the Northeast. Alicia, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you highlight several local farmers in the book, and we're actually going to hear from one of them in a few minutes. But tell us first about the eight crops that are in this book.
So I work with people from Somalia, Bhutan, Burundi, Sudan, Congo, as well as Burma. And we tried to choose crops that we know that each of these communities, at least one crop from each of these communities. So we have roselle, which is very popular with the Burmese community, Burmese and Karen, and they grow it for the greens. We also know that some of the African groups like to use the flower to make tea, but really you can go to a Burmese garden and almost exclusively they're growing roselle, which they'll cut and harvest several times throughout the summer. We feature bitter melon, which is a crop that a lot of the Bhutanese like to eat, and like its name, it is incredibly bitter. We have rice, which almost all of the communities that I work with like to eat. And we feature amaranth, which I almost never say the word amaranth, so it's kind of odd to say it because most of the time I'm saying lenga lenga or mechicha or pulungi, and that's eaten by every group that I work with for the most part. And it's a green, kind of like a spinach, and African eggplant, which is a green eggplant and really popular with the African communities, but also the Bhutanese. And African corn, which it's not a sweet corn at all, and daikon, which is both the root vegetable, which is fairly familiar here in Vermont, I would say, but the preservation techniques are completely different in terms of how the Bhutanese community, that's primarily who grows it, how they preserve it, both the root vegetable and the leafy green, and mustard greens as well.
Some of those, like the mustard greens and, as you mentioned, the daikon, are familiar to many farmers in Vermont and many home gardeners. But some of the crops that you featured are actually not very commercially available.
Yeah, a lot of the farmers, when they first moved to Vermont, they weren't able to find it in the stores at all. And it took a while until maybe one of the ethnic grocery stores started to sell it. But the way it was really introduced was more because people started growing it with our program, New Farms for New Americans, or if they had some land in their backyard, they started growing it. And some farmers will tell me that they were able to get seeds from friends who were living in other parts of the United States who had been resettled elsewhere. The Vietnamese community that I work with, for example, they often get seeds from their friends in California for the seeds like luffa, which we don't feature in the book, but is very commonly grown amongst the Vietnamese community.
I'm talking with Alicia Laramie. She's the co-author of a new guide to growing some of the crops that have been introduced by some of Vermont's new Americans. One of the farmers highlighted in the book is Indra Khadka. Originally from Bhutan, she's been in Vermont and farming here for several years now, and she's joined by interpreter Ria Neopani. It's a pleasure to have both of you with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Indra, can you tell me a little bit about how different it is to be farming in Vermont from farming in Bhutan and Nepal?
A little bit different than Nepal and Bhutan. In Bhutan, the climate is nice and the season is long. And in Nepal, it's so hot and the climate is a little different than Bhutan. And in Nepal, the season is short, very short period of time. So the difference is that we grow only little amount of vegetables as compared to Bhutan and Nepal.
Are you growing vegetables to feel a connection to home, or are you feeding your family with them?
So I'm a farmer, and I used to grow a lot of vegetables and things in Bhutan and Nepal. So I have a connection with that. And then plus I'm feeding my family too.
I've never tried bitter melon. Can you describe how you grow it and then what you might use it in a meal with?
So to cook a bitter melon, you just wash it and cut in thin slice, and then cook with olive oil and salt and some kind of a spicy thing, and just give a little fry on that.
Alicia, what would you recommend of the crops that are featured in this book? You know, for somebody who says, okay, I'm ready to try something new.
Well, daikon is pretty popular here already, but I would use the guide that we just wrote to maybe do some of the preservation methods, especially with the daikon. It's a really interesting process, and it's both beautiful to see when it happens in the fields of spending several days of drying it and fermenting it, essentially. But to just try one, I would say bitter melon, because it has a very particular taste. It's really fun to look at as well. It's very bumpy. It looks like a kind of a toad on the outside, I would say.
Rita, I saw you pointing at one. What would you recommend?
And it has a medical value also there in bitter melon. Like when you eat that bitter melon, it will help to decrease your blood sugar.
Do you grow any crops yourself, Rita?
Yes, I do.
What do you grow?
Last year, I grew roselle and snake gourd.
Yeah, that one sounds fascinating. What is that?
It's a kind of squash, and it's like a snake, you know, so long and looks so beautiful in the garden.
Two feet long,
yeah. And you can eat that with rice, make curry, you know, soup, whatever you want.
Are you gearing this book towards home gardeners and farmers who might not be familiar with these crops?
I do hope that it bridges cultures and that there are a lot more new Americans growing in the community gardens, and it's starting to create a lot of conversations there. So that's one audience. But, you know, we also feature, for example, some local farmers who started to recognize that there was a need for some of these vegetables at the markets, but also just they're delicious foods to eat. Hope to see them on restaurant menus and just create more dialogue. And really, a lot of the vegetables have their very high nutritional value, and in addition to all the cultural significance of them.
Well, Alicia, Rita, and Indra, what a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you, and here's to a good growing season.
Thank you.
The book from UVM Extension is called Global Food, Local Food, A Guide to Growing, Harvesting, and Preserving African and Asian Crops in the Northeast. There's a book launch party next Monday that will feature many of the foods and farmers we've been hearing about. Details are at vpr.net.